Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, welcome back. In hour number two, Kurt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 The Fan, and what we like to call the Fan Sports Network. Good morning. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope your hump day was all right. Your Thursday morning commute's going okay. Slow down out there.
Everybody take it easy.
I want to pull a Nolan Smith Jr. and go 135 and a 70. That'd be terrifying.
Not ideal.
I want to remind you guys to kick off the second hour here to join us on June 23rd. Toyota presents the Fan Golf Classic out at Langdon Farms. We'll be hanging out at the infamous Angels Envy Bourbon Par 3 sixth hole. We'll all be eating Matt's barbecue. You can head to 1051thefan.com and click on the Fan Golf Classic logo for info to sign up today. There's only a couple rounds left in the morning, and that's it, man. It's almost closed up. The Fan Golf Classic presented by Toyota is also brought to you by Vulcan Design and Construction, Henderson and Daughter Windows and Doors, George McCoy at Warren Allen Attorneys at Law, Battery Exchange, Maestro Dobel Tequila, your neighborhood restaurant group, Philbrook Law, 1-800-DIVORCE, Roto-Rooter, Illegal Mezcal, Pub Beer by 10 Barrel, and Window Nation.
That's good shit right there.
We'll talk a little local stuff coming up here at the bottom of the hour.
What's going on locally?
Well,
it's old Tommy Two Nickels in the news again.
I'm just going to point
one. This is outrageous!
Well, I just want to point one thing out. I don't want to yell. And I don't even think people are really yelling.
No, I don't think we are.
I mean, I know some people are yelling.
We have not yelled about it.
I think we've yelled in the opposite way of just like, can we just calm? Yeah. Can we calm down?
Raised my voice maybe a time or two. My octave has changed slightly from a 7 to a 9, but I have not yelled. There's been no yelling.
So I want to kick off the second hour not talking Tom Dundon and Tommy Two Nickels.
Okay.
I want to kick off the second hour with NFL chatter.
Ooh, little NFL chatter.
Well, there's some stuff going on in the National Football League.
Can I give you a stat? Can I give you a fact?
Oh.
Throw a number at you right now. Now it's not NFL related. Yeah, it's not NFL related, although we can do the math in our head NFL related.
Okay.
But today is 100 days from the start of college football.
How about that?
100 days from now.
God, it makes me feel so good.
We are kicking off the college football season.
We had a coworker that was like, look, I understand the Blazers have been in the headlines, and, you know, the NBA playoffs are happening. That's a thing. There's been some good stuff, but
they are taking place currently.
I need football in the worst way. And I go, hey, we're jonesing for it, too.
Right there with you, brother.
We've done a pretty consistent job, I would say, of having college football.
We've corkscrewed a lot of football into the show.
I have a college football segment to get to today.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Somebody said the quiet part out loud, and they're done being nice about it, and it's something that I said might happen a few years ago when USC and UCLA left the Pac-12.
I know what you're talking about.
And there is an AD that's like, I've had enough of this. Just
you're not going to do it. It's not going to happen. So stop pretending that it's going to happen.
I hope it happens.
You hope it happens. I hope it doesn't
happen. I hope they're forced to make it happen just so they can walk it back and say, we're sorry, we didn't want this to happen.
Come back to the table.
Let's kick off with the NFL as they have the OTA camps going on. We got the Rodgers news. We'll talk about that in a minute. How about one quarterback that has not really been at the forefront of relevancy in the National Football League in terms of his team being a true contender? Joe Burrow.
Smoking that Joe Burrow.
Once national champion quarterback.
Yes.
Been to a Super Bowl himself. Been to another AFC title game. The Bengals have kind of stepped in it the last two seasons. Not quite been what we thought or hoped Joe Burrow and the Bengals would be. When we talk about the premier quarterbacks of that sport, we name Joe Burrow, Mahomes, Allen, and Lamar. And unfortunately, one of those guys has not really been in the conversation much. And that's because his team hasn't been very good. And so Cincinnati's living in this world of, I think a lot of us out there are guessing and throwing that if they don't do this and this, he's going to demand a trade.
Right.
Even though guys like him don't largely do that.
The irony of it is the only guy we've ever really seen do it at the highest level is the former quarterback of the Cincinnati Bengals. It's the same franchise. It was Carson Palmer. Now, Burrow is significantly better than Carson Palmer, but he was an established guy. They had been to the playoffs, and he was like, dude, I'm done. I'm retiring. I'm not playing here anymore, and eventually forced his way to go to Oakland.
Well, I don't know how you would grade the offseason for the Bengals. They added some edge rusher in Boye Mafe. They added a DT in Dexter Lawrence.
They did stuff that they usually don't do. Usually yes. They're trading their guys away and paying rookies, and instead they brought in big contracts on at least one of their defensive linemen.
They got some rookie guys coming in that, you know, we don't know about yet. And then, of course, we know what they can be offensively with their targets in Burrow. Here is Joe Burrow yesterday at Bengals camp talking about how he views his team and their offseason.
I just think we know where we needed to be better, and we went out and aggressively made it happen. You know, we filled some holes that we had from years past, got better at a lot of positions, signed the best free agent safety, got the best D tackle in the league, in my opinion. So we have everything we need in that locker room. We just got to go and make it happen. Number one thing is you have to win, and you know, we're going to go win a lot of games this year and play great and win a Super Bowl. And I think this is the most talented roster that we've had since I've been here.
Bold claim there, Joe.
So,
bold claim, Joey B.
Look, I love Joey B. And I'm not even mad that he's saying all of this stuff out loud. If I was a host in Cincinnati, I'd be eating this up all day.
Yeah.
It is quite a statement, though, that people write down and go,
okay,
most talented roster you've ever had. We're going to win the Super Bowl. Like, that stuff, winning the Super Bowl, everybody can say that. I don't really care about that. I know that's kind of more the big narrative for some is Joe Burrow says they're going to win the Super Bowl. It's like, every player going into the season thinks they're going to win the Super Bowl.
I hope my quarterback thinks my team's going to win the Super Bowl.
Imagine if we would have said out loud, Sam Darnold says he's going to win the Super Bowl this year. Right. We're like, yeah, right.
I want Dante Moore to go into next season saying, no, we're not going to win a national championship. We're just here to have fun, man.
Would you rather him
it's
not
It's about the
say...
relationships that last a lifetime. That's what matters the most.
What would you rather him say?
We're going to win a national championship.
You like that then, huh?
Yes, I want my team to think that they're going to do it.
Yeah.
What are we going to do? Look back and make fun of them if they don't win it? I don't care about that. I'm already in pain for not winning a national championship. It doesn't hurt me anymore.
You can't hurt me anymore than I've already been hurt.
I got scars all over the place, man. It does nothing to me.
Well, to me, it's more about the other comment so much than win the Super Bowl. Like, yeah, if he gets to the playoffs, that guy absolutely believes he can will his team as the quarterback to get to the Super Bowl and potentially win it. It's more so it's the most talented roster I've ever had here when he's been to two AFC title games and a Super Bowl.
Year two and year three of his career, and he was outstanding in both those years, and the team was solid. And without a late hit out of bounds, maybe they go to back-to-back Super Bowls. Like, that was a AFC title game against Kansas City that could have gone either way. The tough part with the Bengals is not only have they had some bad roster decisions and they haven't been aggressive in ways that they needed to be, and maybe these two issues go hand in hand. I feel like that gets blamed a lot on their shortcomings, and we certainly all know how talented Joe Burrow is when he's available. What's been a theme of two of their last three seasons?
Their defense being terrible.
And Joe Burrow's not available.
Yeah.
So again, maybe the roster and the buildup of the offensive line goes hand in hand with that. He played 8 games last year. 2 years before that, he played 10 games. They missed the playoffs both years. And so the year in between there, when he plays at an MVP level and is arguably the best quarterback in the league, that was all on the organization. He was out there. He was healthy. He lit up defenses start to finish. Again, probably should have won the MVP. He was not the reason that they didn't win. He's got to stay healthy. And it's just unique because I feel like some guys would carry this label a little bit stronger than Joe Burrow would, and maybe I'm just not swimming in Bengals circles right now.
Yeah.
But, like, if this was Lamar, it is Lamar. Like, well, you say this about him every year.
Well, he's coming in with
pressure.
He's got
to stay healthy. He's got pressure, guys. He's going to be available. Is he going to stay healthy? Do you want him running so much?
He can't play well in the playoffs.
Dude, last year Joe Burrow played 8 games. 2 years before that, he played 10. Yep. That's missing over half. Well,
what was his second year? He played 10 in the first year, right?
His rookie season, he played 10. He got hurt in the back end of the year. Then he had 2 straight years of being healthy. They went to the Super Bowl in the AFC title game. Then he got hurt, missed the playoffs. Then he played the full season and was great, but everything else around him sucked and they missed the playoffs.
Yep.
And last year he played 8 games. So that he's got to be available. The roster could be better, and I actually take his word for it. I think Cincinnati's had a decent offseason. I love the Lawrence pickup. I love being aggressive. I think he is the best defensive tackle in the NFL, and he'll help them in an area where they desperately need help.
Yeah, I like the Lawrence pickup.
The weapons aren't an issue for them. He's like, that's the other component of this, and it's not his fault that he's getting hurt, but he's got to be available for them if they want to be the team that they think they can be.
You know, how do you – I guess I'm kind of curious about this in thinking about that comment, and I'm like, oh, okay, that's a very interesting thing for a guy like Joe Burrow to say. Not that Joe Burrow hasn't been brash and cocky and kind of confident in his abilities and
kind of what he's known for in his career, to be honest with you.
I mean, smoking a cigar on a couch, the leg up and your jersey on kind of tells me all I need to know. I know how you operate. That being said, I was thinking yesterday after I saw this. So the four we name every time, the default position of Mahomes, Burrow, Allen, Lamar.
Yeah, which also, as you point out correctly, so it's five. The fact that Stafford's not in there is ridiculous.
You. You're right. No.
He just won the MVP.
My apologies. You're right.
But we just do that. We always kind of go back to the four and forget about the guy who just won the MVP.
Yeah, you're right. I pointed that out. I already forgot what I pointed out. You're right. There's five.
We got a core five. That's what we got. Core five.
If you have a core five and then however you want to organize the next however many you think that is,
yeah,
if
the
there's
next group.
A third tier, second tier, whatever. I don't care. If you took those five, Stafford right now, to me, far and away the best chance of winning the Super Bowl of all the five.
Yeah, I mean, based on how close they were in the offseason that they had, it's hard to disagree with that.
I have an unknown in Baltimore at coach. Not that he won't be Mike McDonald-esque, but no. I don't know that yet. I need information.
Not a guarantee.
Buffalo is in a weird spot of like, maybe Joe Brady is going to be the difference for them, and maybe this is the year that the fourth and inches, he picks up the first down and he finally does it. But Buffalo's been nothing but heartbreak as a sports city.
Is Allen going to turn the ball over the way he did in the playoffs again against the Broncos?
The other point, Cincinnati has had multiple seasons now, as we pointed out, of like, and then Kansas City's in a weird spot of like, is Mahomes ready week one? If he is, okay, but like, what is the revamp defense going to be now that we know they've moved on and they've gone young in some spots? I'm kind of curious now how we look at the quarterback position. We know what the value of it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
But of those five, you kind of look around the NFL, and last year it was Darnold, Bo Nix, Drake May
out of nowhere in the AFC
title
game.
Right, like you kind of look around, and it's not that we don't know that depth and having a stellar defense isn't important. It's more like how fascinating the attention is on the five versus what the league can tend to show you of, yeah, those five are really great, but here's the story of your season. This guy, and that guy, which aren't part of the five.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, because he, you know, a lot of these other guys have been mainstays in the postseason for the majority. Like, Stafford has been in every year he's been in L.A. Mahomes last year was the first year that he missed the playoffs. Allen has not been able to get over the hump, but they've been in the playoffs every year and gone on runs every year. And I believe last year was the first year that Lamar missed the playoffs. Am I wrong on that?
But I think you're right on that.
I think
that.
Last year was the first year that he didn't make it, and he was hurt, and that was a big part of it. Like, we're going on 3 years in a row now. We haven't seen Joe Burrow in the time than when Joe Burrow usually shines. Like, what Joe Burrow is known for is being clutch and coming up big in the big moments, and he did it early in his career. He did it when he was in college at LSU, although that was probably the most talented college football team we've ever seen. Like, that's kind of what he was known for. We're going on 3 years in a row where we haven't even seen him in the postseason.
The only year that I had forgotten about this momentarily, but you said that, so I looked it up, that 5-12 year for the Rams, where McVay, coincidentally,
he almost retired and Stafford got hurt. He had the back issue.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, when Stafford's played, they've been in the playoffs every year.
Yeah,
for the most part.
His only year in L.A. was, I think he had 2,000 yards that season, and then he got hurt.
Yes.
And they ended up being 5-12 that season.
And started Baker Mayfield on 3 days rest and landed on the plane. You're starting this weekend, buddy. And McVay almost thought about retiring.
Well, but, like, do you look at those five? Like, I know you do with Stafford. I think everybody has to, right? Unless there's some massive injuries that happen for the Rams.
I mean, they were fourth down away from beating the Seahawks in the NFC title game, and they're blowing out the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
I tend to agree.
Similar to what Seattle did. They were the two best teams in the NFL last year.
I agree with that. So if I gave you Stafford and said, well, I know you're going to do that.
Yeah.
Of the other four, where are you at? And when you compare them to how the teams...
With the best chance to win, like with what's around them, you mean?
Just looking around the league and saying like, oh, there's that situation there. Vrabel's been caught up in the drama, but they were in the Super Bowl last year. I know how you feel about the Patriots, but... Just looking at it, is it going to be we're going to be back to those other four, or are we going to continue to look at the NFL and say, boy, it's fascinating to find The Seattle Seahawks just won the Super Bowl on the $100 million contract.
Mm-hmm.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have won their division and
flirted with it, yeah.
In the conversation of like a good team, $100 million contract. And I'm not saying you don't pay guys. I'm more just curious your thoughts on, is the league going to continue to show us outside of those four? It's great to have one of those guys. There's no doubt. But there's all these other teams sitting there right there that take them out.
I think that will always be the story of the NFL, and that's why we love the sport so much, is there's different ways to skin the cat. You don't have to necessarily have that. Now, it helps. I'd rather have them than not have them, but Seattle showed us last year, and other teams have in the last handful of years, like there are other ways to do this. You know how I feel about Jalen Hurts. I don't think Jalen Hurts is a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. I think if Jalen Hurts has a bad year this year, Philadelphia will seriously look in the mirror and say, is this a guy that we want to continue to build around? And he certainly played well in big moments for them. But let's also not sit here and pretend as if Jalen Hurts is in the same conversation as these guys that we're talking about right now. It just isn't the case. And they just won a Super Bowl 2 years ago, and they've been to two of them. So the idea that you have to have one of these guys to win, that's the beauty of the league.
Like Chicago's sitting there, right?
Yes,
maybe,
and I think
is
that's
Green
the
Bay going to finally break through and right. Not choke in the playoffs?
Like we had this in the NBA, and this is the demoralizing feeling even today as a Blazer fan, despite maybe progress that some people would see. There's the feeling of, like, can you win without a guy, like one of the guys? We don't have an SGA. We don't have a Wembanyama. We don't have somebody to that level.
I thought we had him.
Can you win a championship without one of them, right? Him is him. In the NFL, they've shown you a million times over that a quarterback, you can. You can find a way to do it, whether you win a Super Bowl or just are good in the playoffs. So I think it's interesting to see, is there another guy from that collection? Because right now, of the core five that we would name, only two of them have rings. The other three haven't won one. Burrow hasn't won one. Lamar hasn't won one. And Allen hasn't won one. And Burrow's the only one who's even been to a Super Bowl. There's only one combined Super Bowl between the other three guys.
Yeah.
Now, they're all in the AFC, so they're beating each other up, playing each other in the playoffs.
Yep.
So that's an interesting question
that's
to me.
That's a fascinating thing.
Which one is the next one of the bunch to break through and win one? And then also, yes. I go to the original point that you brought up outside of those five. Is there another guy that can enter into the conversation? Is Stafford going to retire and then we have a new fifth? Or if Stafford continues to play maybe another year, does it become a core six because of the way somebody plays? Because I think there's a long list
Caleb
of guys.
Drake, is
Caleb,
Bo,
Drake, like, Bo, yeah. Herbert, right. Dak Prescott even for as good as he's
maybe
been.
Maybe Jordan Love.
Jordan Love. Yeah. Like, who is the next guy? Can any of them put themselves in that conversation? Because to this point, none of them have.
I think the fascinating thing on that, too, is when you – like, I look at, like, Kyler Murray, right? I'm not a big Kyler guy, but when we talk about this topic, given what I've seen in the NFL, I can't completely dismiss the idea of something. Even if I'm of the opinion, Kyler Murray going to Minnesota where they won 9 games with a bad quarterback, if he's just serviceable or close to what he was year one with Cliff Kingsbury, that team could win 12 games.
Right.
And I'm not going to bat an eye at that.
No.
And I'm going to have to reconsider, like, do I think Kyler Murray can win the Super Bowl? Maybe I would. Four of those five, same conference.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that's crazy is like...
it's the Western Conference in the NBA
it really
with Wemby
is.
And SGA and Ant Edwards and all the guys.
Right. And then you got Stafford and the Knicks on the other side. Right. And like, maybe the Celtics will be back next year. Like, I don't know. They lost in round one. But that's the fascinating thing is those four are going to have to take each other out. And Stafford of the five is the lone like, I got Darnold, Purdy... right. Baker.
They're good.
Dak.
Yeah, they're good quarterbacks.
Goff.
You're right.
Caleb.
They're all good.
These guys are good. But there ain't those other four good when they're at their top peak, right?
It's not Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, or Joe Burrow.
Coincidentally, do you know why Jalen Hurts is an Eagle? I just read this story yesterday or the day before. There's a really good write-up of owners meddling, which is actually what I wanted to talk about in the next segment.
Oh, okay.
Basically, like, is the track record – now, it's an NFL-based thing, but I kind of want to apply it locally to our team. Is the track record of an owner meddling good or bad?
Mm.
What's the actual result and fallout of it? And they go through a laundry list of owners that have either been given a chance to actually make a pick or they're pretty aggressively involved with the process of draft.
Yeah, who we want to go get.
Do you know why the Eagles drafted Jalen Hurts?
I don't know the backstory.
Fascinating. He's obviously, he had a lot of success at Oklahoma his last year, right? We know what he kind of was, reputation was at Bama.
Yeah.
The reason Jeffrey Lurie and the Eagles drafted Jalen Hurts was because Jeffrey Lurie is always thinking about the future. Some people have noted that, like, he kind of has a hard time sitting in the present. He's always like, what are we in 2 years?
What are we in next?
3 years?
Yeah.
Like, that's how his thinking is. And years ago... he wanted to draft a quarterback while they had Carson Wentz. Do you know who that quarterback was?
No idea.
Or no, who was it? I think maybe I have my timeline. I got to think about the years here. So it was basically he was thinking about the future while they had a quarterback.
Okay.
And the quarterback he wanted to draft, Russell Wilson.
Ah.
And he missed it. He got picked by the Seahawks, obviously.
Right. And as a third-round pick.
And Lori kicked himself because he goes, damn it, I wanted him.
Right.
So even when he had Wentz,
it would have been Wentz.
He had Wentz.
He decided, I don't care.
He was like, I can't sit back and just rest on this.
Yeah.
And they he told them, they basically was like, we're taking Jalen Hurts. He's a good player. We've scouted him.
They helped him win a Super Bowl, man.
We're going Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, worked out well for him.
It's an interesting thing to think about.
It's the beauty of sports, man. There's always one eye on what's happening right now and one eye on what does the bigger picture look
like.
And they can exist at the same time, and they should both be reviewed and analyzed similarly.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. So Joe Burrow says they're going back to the playoffs, best roster he's ever had. In Cincinnati. We roll on hour number two. Do you like a meddling owner or an owner that's pretty involved? And kind of tying back to a local story here. We'll get to that coming up next on 105.1.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
On the Fan. All right, welcome back in. 728 on Portland Sports Leader. Damn right we are. 105.1 The Fan.
One thought that came in, Darnold, text on Darnold, so he's not an elite like Mahomes or Jackson. However, the dude is smart. I think he'll continue to take cheap deals so the front office can build around him. Not quite Tom Brady, but relatable. Seahawks are going to be good for a while.
I could see the both sides thing, like where the Seahawks are going to say, we're not giving you 255. And I think he goes, yeah, but the idea that he's going to like stay at $100 million is, because I think they're going to be really good again.
Right.
I think my team's going to suffer from a bad schedule, and they're old. The Rams, I think, are going nowhere.
Right.
I think the Seahawks have a chance to repeat. I don't know if they will, but they got a good chance. You're not winning two Super Bowls, and then the contract negotiation is going, you know what?
Take 25.
Same
million.
Deals last time. Yeah. I think you're going, what about 190?
Let's refresh this thing a little bit.
You don't want 255. I'll take 190. We'll call that good.
And to my point on a guy like Jalen Hurts, you know how I feel about Hurts, but what I can't deny about Hurts is he played big in big moments for them. And there's runs. He was horrible in their playoff game last year. But in their Super Bowl run and in that game against Kansas City, both times, he was really good. Darnold, when they needed him to be nails, was nails. It was the NFC Championship game. They needed him to shred that defense, and he shredded that defense. What did he do in the regular season, though? He led the NFL in turnovers.
Yeah.
And that's just the point about some guys being able to get away with more.
They beat
because
the Rams
of what is around them.
In Seattle, not because of him.
The offense was booed off the field. He threw a pick.
It was terrible in that
game. In the NFC title game,
he was great. He had to
win a shootout. The defense was getting shredded, and he played well. And that's the benefit of being in a spot like that, where I don't have to carry it week in and week out. Can I come up with some plays when I need to? And if I can, I can win a ring. And that's what happened last
year. Let me just ask you, do you legitimately believe you think Kyler Murray can win the Super Bowl?
Yes.
Because of where he's at?
I can't,
is it because of the situation?
Because of the situation,
okay.
Yes.
All right.
I'm certainly not but I think it's very similar in terms of, I don't think we'll ever look at Kyler Murray as a top five quarterback in the NFL.
No doubt about it.
That will never happen.
Yeah.
But he's with a good coach, a good offensive mind, maybe the best wide receiver in the NFL, a lot of good pieces there. Minnesota damn near made the playoffs with Niner at quarterback last year.
They did?
They finished ahead of the Detroit Lions with J.J. McCarthy as their primary starting quarterback.
So there's a really good read on the NFL. It's not very lengthy, but it's just about a few owners. The Hunt family, Biscotti of the Ravens. We've got Lori in here. And then you've got, what's the Colts gal?
Oh, what's her name?
There's a couple stories about her.
They're trying to boot her off the sidelines. Did I read that correctly? She's getting too involved now.
Well, she's
just taking
learning.
It to an extreme level.
She's learning.
Yeah,
is what I would say in that.
Okay.
Is that Carly Ursay?
Carly Ursay. Thank you.
Gordon. That's the hyphenated. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, there's a really good read about owners meddling, not meddling, but being pretty involved in personnel. in 2012, for example, the New York Jets owner Woody Johnson, great track record. That Woody Johnson was the driving force behind the trade for Tim Tebow. Jets gave up a fourth-round pick to the Broncos and wound up using Tebow for 75 plays on offense. In an appearance on CNBC from the Republican National Convention in 2012, he was asked if he'd like to see more Tebow or less Tebow. He said, quote, "I think you can never have too much Tebow." End quote. So, like, we have, and it goes through the history of things. Like, Biscotti actually just made a pick this year in the draft. It was one of their last picks. And the GM was, they were talking at dinner with the GM, and DaCosta's like, yeah, man, this is a hard decision. These are hard picks to make. It's not easy. And so they were having more of a jokey conversation. Anyway, it's a really interesting thing, and it made me kind of weirdly go from NFL brain to Blazer brain of, there's been so much Dundon thrown in our faces, in our lives right now. And what's abundantly clear, at least to me, and I would imagine almost everybody else, is I'm not saying he's going to be a meddling owner, but he's going to be a very involved owner here, right, in the process of how this team is built.
Significantly more involved than the absentee Jody Allen.
And, well, yeah. Absentee in not really understanding who and what is going on being told to write the check.
Right.
I'm just curious how you feel about the idea of the really involved owner and maybe actually meddling a little bit, because it's a really interesting read here on these NFL owners.
Yeah.
But we know we have one because he's kind of this in Carolina, and it feels like he's going to be that here.
It's interesting because that's, you know, we've been spending so much time yelling at each other. We haven't really got to the substance of what he is like when it comes to team building and roster decisions. And at the end of the day, the things that matter the most to me as a fan, right? Like, who are you drafting? Who's in charge of drafting those guys? How much control do you give your GM? Do you have say or sway in some of these calls? And it was ironic because in the Game Over podcast, they talked a lot about that and his strategy. And he's, while he does meddle more than some because we're used to Jody Allen, who we never heard talk once in a decade, I thought it was fascinating to get his insight into how he handles the pre-draft process. He made fun of the combine situation. I'm like, this is dumb, dude. These guys are running around in shorts in a gym. I'm not going to let that dictate whether I draft you or not. And I loved that answer from him of, like, if you had an awkward handshake or didn't look me in the eye, are you 6'7" with elite tape over 3 years? I'm still going to take you in the first round. I don't care that you were a little weird or a little off-putting. And then he also talked about the idea of, he's not making picks. He never does. He never will. And he went into the idea of, like, I hire people that I trust. We have our scouts. He is there to always push back.
He presses them. Like, I'm going to press you. I'm like, this guy so much?
Why are we falling in love with this guy? And you know what I thought the entire time listening to that interview? Would have been nice to have somebody in the building last year being like, are we sure Young Hanson's the right pick here?
Are we sure they still believe he is?
Of course they do. Yeah. You know who just made first team All NBA rookie? A guy we could have taken, Cedric Coward. But no. By all means, right? Let's see how long it takes Young Hanson to make an All-NBA team. So I just, that was the thought I had listening to the interview on his idea of drafting guys, of like having somebody internally push back. Jody Allen didn't know who Young Hanson was. She showed up on draft night. They made a call. She has no clue what's happening.
Paul lived for the draft.
He meddled
out
a ton.
The most on the draft.
Yes.
And I think we at least have a history, a track record of a guy. Meddling might not be the right term for Paul, really involved. I think he also, in a weird way, much like Dundon, the people he hired, he trusted, right? Like Pritchard making the draft day moves to get LA and Roy and
I think
the Oden pick. And then, like, obviously that was a fallout. And so he fires Pritchard. And then he goes through this weird stretch of Rich Cho, Rich Buchanan.
And he became the Cho Chop. He was just firing everybody every year.
And then somehow the entire organization was just handed to Neil O'Shea on a platter. And Paul didn't really seem to care enough to make any moves of substantial.
They were a 3 seed and got swept by the 6 seed in the first round of the playoffs. And they just didn't fire his GM.
They didn't do anything.
But Rich Cho was here for like a breath, and his breath stank, and they fired him. See you later, Rich. Get your braces out of here.
Chad Buchanan, like, scouted everything about Damian Lillard, was like, dude, this is the pick. And he's like, you're fired. We're handing in the former soap opera guy. Like, what? What?
You get to do the pick.
So, like, we had an owner at one point when he was alive.
Yes.
Just being involved.
I think there's a balance of the right way to do it. The balance is you need to be involved. There needs to be a sense of urgency. You need to hold people accountable. But also at the end of the day, you have people in charge that you trust and that you have hired that you believe can make the right call. And I think that's where This is the one thing that I will always go back to every time we yell and scream about Tom Dundon. I know that they are not apples to apples, but this is how his organization has worked in Carolina. And he talked about it again in the podcast. There were picks that I pushed back on against our scouts. And I said, are we sure this is the guy? One of them probably was a former local player, Seth Jarvis for the Winterhawks, who was an undersized forward coming out. An incredibly skilled player for the WHL level. But whenever you have guys who are undersized, there's that thought of like, will it fully translate? Like, how does that look? He's not a bigger body.
Jump from that to that.
It's a big jump. And they took him with a top 10 pick in the draft. And I'm sure that that was a thought of like, are we sure this is the guy we want to take? And Seth Jarvis has been outstanding. And he just made the Canadian Olympic team. And he's been great for them for the number of years that he's been there. And so I think having the balance of somebody who is involved with a sense of urgency and holding people accountable and making sure you're asking the right questions, but also allowing the people that you put in charge to ultimately make the calls is the best way to possibly handle that. And based on his track record in Carolina and what he said in interviews, that's the way that he operates as an owner.
It'd be interesting to see. I continue to be fascinated in how this is going to go in the offseason and going forward, but we're still kind of stuck in this yelling at each other and this is terrible. Like, I don't have to agree with everything. And I also, like, I've acknowledged the cheapness. I find myself in a weird defensive spot of, like, I've kind of in a roundabout way been accused of just parroting pro-Dundon stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, we've literally made fun of how cheap he is. And I've said, like, yo, it's a little eye-opening, some of this stuff, and it could really rear its head. But
yeah,
I don't have a whole lot to react to in an angry way. And I am finding that in this market, it's becoming a little disingenuous, the Tom Dundon stuff.
Yeah.
I'm finding that
we are memory-holing everything that happened before this and acting as if this was day one of the organization and there's never been a controversy before.
Well, yeah. So
as if,
like,
our head coach wasn't arrested by the FBI or we didn't have a GM drinking a water bottle to shut down questions at a press conference.
We didn't interview a general manager. I will never not acknowledge this. Joe Cronin may be the guy. If Tom Dundon hires a GM and then that guy is basically forced to be fired because he harasses people in the office, and then Tom Dundon doesn't even interview people to replace him,
just promotes the assistant from within,
I better not see any media member
ask why aren't we interviewing,
scream about how inept that is, because the Vulcans literally did that.
Yes, they did.
That was a big deal to me in the moment. I was raising into why are we not interviewing for the most important job for the franchise? Why are we just handing this to somebody that nobody knows?
Right.
And I got crickets. So, like, yesterday, as an example, it was made aware we're getting more and more names that have been let go. Tina Thompson was let go in the budget cuts, right? I think Heiken pointed out correctly, she's going to get any gig she wants with the new Houston Comet franchise when they relocate. But, like, a PR guy was let go, who was very nice to me in email. I just corresponded with him email. I never met him in person,
yeah.
Very nice guy. And it was, like, I think it was described as catastrophic, which...
Sure.
Not sure. I don't know what's catastrophic for an organization. Have you run an NBA organization?
No, I have not.
I've never won. I don't know what the term catastrophic really means for an organization. Can they hire another PR person?
Yes, they can.
Okay. We just lost our social media guy. Are we going to hire a new one?
Yes, we will.
Did we lose that guy and it's catastrophic and we'll never replace him?
Right.
Right? So I don't know if that's the right term. I also know that guy came in because the last ownership group, the Vulcans, fired a longtime PR guy that was probably making double what the next guy was.
Yeah, he'd been there for over 20 years and
now,
they canned him.
Why would you make that move?
Because it's a move to save money.
What?
What? No.
The Vulcans never cut
on
money.
No. That's the biggest part.
See, that's
of the
my only thing on some of this is, like, call out when you want to call out, but, like, it's becoming a little...
You're capitalizing.
Here. Now we're just reaching on everything we can of, like...
Right.
I call it out, sure, but catastrophic, a PR thing? There's a billion people in PR on LinkedIn. And they're probably going to hire somebody, guess what, cheaper than that guy.
Michael Llewellyn used to do it. I love Michael Llewellyn, man. I saw him at a blues concert once at a bar down here, and he's a fantastic guy.
Well, now he's running things at UP, but yeah. Jim Taylor was literally their lead PR guy.
Forever.
Forever. And they just randomly canned him.
Yeah.
And they went and hired somebody younger. What happens when you hire somebody younger? They tend to be?
Cheaper.
So, like, this idea the Vulcans never... You're not John Hammond here. This isn't Jurassic Park. He spared no expense. No, the Vulcans, they spared expenses. They just, it wasn't really talked about a whole lot, or you didn't hear a whole lot about it. I saw Jay Allen popping into this. Jay Allen, a longtime former Blazer-related guy in media.
He's like,
you know, the Vulcans actually made a lot of financial decisions. They didn't just, like, cut a check to every single human that breathed oxygen.
We've been nothing but the highest level of success for the last 20 years with no controversies.
I'm not trying to defend firing people. I hate it.
Right.
My industry deals with it. I see it. I know people involved with it. It blows, man.
Yeah.
It just feels like some of this is becoming...
It's redundant. I think a lot of
people are starting to go the other way of like, all right, yeah, all right. Did they lose a game over this?
Right. Can we see how the offseason goes?
Yeah.
Can we see who they hired head coach? Let's see how the rest of this thing plays out.
What if they hire Tiago Splitter? Is he still cheap?
Yes. He probably is.
Did he pony up $2 million for that?
Yeah.
Got off his 1.5? I'm just fascinated to see where some of this goes.
Yep.
That's where I'm sitting mostly, but... meddling owners in the NFL making me think like how involved Tom Dundon's going to be as the owner. Went a little over there, 7:42 back.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
How would you describe yourself? Fun? Sporty? Bold? If that's the case, meet the Kia K4 hatchback, made for motion, adventure, and whatever you might decide to bring along. Or would you say you're more smooth, sleek, refined? If so, there's the Kia K4 sedan. Calm, confident, and ever so modern. Two personalities, two available turbocharged ways forward. The Kia K4 GT Line Turbo and the K4 Hatchback GT Line Turbo. What turbos you? Turbo is available on select K4 trims.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Good morning, fam. I just want to dance at a wedding.
Feels like good wedding music, doesn't it?
It's like not even being a good dance. You're just out there moving your body.
So my guy Stump City Soul, baby.
It's a great song. Stump City Soul, pretty good little band this band.
Pretty good little band right there. Pretty good little band.
Never heard them before.
They're local.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, it's a buddy of mine.
How about that?
It's the lead singer. If I got a buddy in a band, I'm throwing the music in the playlist. It's getting in the rotator. That's how we roll around here.
Is he the singer?
Yeah. I grew up with him.
Really?
Yeah.
Have I ever met this guy?
No. He's older than me. He's older than my brother. But his younger brother.
Why do you know so many old people? All your friends.
It's weird. His younger.
I know you're an old soul, but it's like my best friend. he just turned 54.
His younger brother was best friends with my brother.
Oh, okay.
So he's the older brother of my brother's best friend, and my brother's obviously older than me.
Yeah.
But I've known him. Yeah, I've known him for years, gone to shows. He's been in different bands over the years. Yeah. They play, you know, wedding music, all the good stuff.
I don't think I enjoy anything more than just dancing like a buffoon in a wedding setting.
You've had a couple of cocktails. You're feeling good.
Yeah.
You're loosey-goosey. The tie is done. The shirt's unbuttoned. It's a little hot. You got some sweat going on you.
Yes.
And you're letting it flow.
Yeah.
Let it fly. That's a great feeling at a wedding.
That's why we
wrap up the speeches quickly, because that's the part of the night that everybody wants to get to.
We just want to get to that part.
Nobody wants to. That's great. You put gum in her hair in sixth grade, nobody cares. Okay?
My daughter's birthday's this weekend, and we're going to the coast, and my wife was not freaking out. My wife was like, I haven't come up with any games. You know, got to have games to play.
I got to have kid games. Are you guys like card games or board games? Are we talking?
There's not going to be a lot of kids. That's the interesting thing. It's just a family trip.
It's just the four of you going?
No,
or additional
families going to come, but... Okay. Just thinking of games, and there's a game that I started playing with them last weekend that I want to play with the rest of my family, and it's from a podcast I listen to. So I like comedy. I love to laugh. And I listened to this podcast called Bad Friends. Mm-hmm. It's got Bobby Lee and Andrew Santino, who we famously interviewed. And
yes.
then like 2 years later, he started kind of like rising up the charts.
He ain't coming on our show anymore.
He'll never be on our show again. Anyways, they have a podcast that's really funny. And they had Pete Holmes on. Pete Holmes is this.
I love Pete Holmes.
Do you know who Pete Holmes
Pete
is?
Holmes is one of my favorite stand-up comedians.
He's a religious guy, but he pokes fun at his religion.
Yes.
And then like he's like kind of not wholly certain what his religion is or how much he believes it, but he is.
Right.
Anyways, he says one of the funnest games, and they ended up playing it on the pod. It's the, you got to look down. So imagine you're in a setting with like your closest friends or family, okay? You have to look down, and you have to look deadpan straight up to everybody, and you have to do the smallest possible smile you can register and also not break.
And not break and laugh.
So whoever, and I mean like, it. We all have to see it.
Whoever has the smallest smile.
The smallest possible smile you can make.
Without breaking.
Without breaking. And I think that's a game I'm going to play this weekend with my family.
That's a good one to do it.
It's a really hard
Get
one
everybody,
to do.
Everybody's laughing, having a good time.
Like it's not good radio, but for people on YouTube, I want you to play this game with me and Brandon.
The smallest possible smile.
So you have to look down. And when you come up, you have to be deadpanned.
Deadpan, and then do a smile?
The smallest possible smile very quickly.
So I go deadpan smile.
And then deadpan.
And then deadpan.
I'm leaving this to you two because I know that this is probably one of my worst games that I will ever compete in because I will smile and break instantly.
You'll break.
I'd be so bad on SNL. I'd start laughing the entire time every time I'm doing a bit.
Oh, would you?
I would break the entire show.
Okay, so
there's no way.
This is not great radio. I'll acknowledge that. So I apologize. I love our radio listener.
I'm horrible with this.
You can't? Can you try it? You got to look down, deadpan. Look up, deadpan. Small smile. Move on.
I can't do it.
Exhibit A.
I can't do it.
That was so bad.
It's
one thing to not do it. It's another to like you instantly. You couldn't even stop.
I can't even
laughing.
Try. I'm having a good time.
All right, I'll try one right. time. Okay,
give
here
me
we
a
go.
Deadpan.
Now you got to register. Is this an actual smile?
Yeah, you got. I need lip movement. Don't pull that.
Is that
I
a
don't
smile?
Know if that classifies as a smile.
It's the littlest smile.
I almost want to call that
it's
a twitch.
It's a really
like a twitch.
Smile.
Thank you. It's a
but,
twitch.
Hey, a twitch. You want me to hold the smile?
That is minimal. I'll
I think you need
that.
To hold it. I think I want to hold.
All right.
Not a cheek twitch here. That was better.
That's better.
That was better.
That was better.
At least held it for a little bit.
Terrible radio. I could hear it, how bad that radio is. But
yeah, it's pretty bad radio.
It's a
right
fun.
There.
It's a fun family game.
It's a fun game.
Yeah.
Are we done yelling about Tom Dundon now?
I don't think people are really yelling about Tom Dundon anymore.
I don't either.
I think we're kind of. I think we're all. I say 98% of people are collectively exhausted by it.
Yes.
And the 2% are the ones yelling.
Wait till another person gets fired and then we get to do it all over again.
Oh, it's not done.
Or a coach gets hired and then we get to do it all over again, depending on who they hire and how much money they're spending. I just. The biggest frustration.
I'm going to tell you right now, they hired Jason Kidd. We may have to disagree. I will be out on that.
Is he going to spill a drink to get an extra timeout? Because that's genius. Okay? I'm out of timeouts. I need to stop it. Sure, let's drop a play. Let's spill a drink. I also would be out on that. And we were out on that last time. That's why we ended up with Chauncey Billups, who then had allegations surface and then got arrested by the FBI, in case anybody forgot that. Still our acting head coach, by the way. Did you know Chauncey
Billups?
Well,
he's on administrative leave.
He's still the acting
he's
head.
Acting.
He's still the head coach.
He's still the head coach on the website.
He has not been fired. If you go to the website
do
and
they
look
still
at,
define it as acting, though? I don't
it
think
just says head coach.
Says head coach.
It just says head coach, Chauncey Billups. He was arrested by the FBI.
The last time he in Oregon was when he left the courthouse?
Probably.
Or was it a couple days later when he listed his house on Zillow?
I don't know. It's a good question. Rich Paul said in the interview he still talks to him all the time, and I'm like, now I'm uncomfortable. He's a great guy. All right, dude.
What if he's found, like, what if he just pleads guilty?
Yeah, we're going to walk that stuff back? Like, okay, a little uncomfortable. It's just the memory holding of the last 20 years is if everything's been hunky-dory. There's been no controversies.
I agree.
We've done nothing but win at a high level. Like,
I know.
What world have you been living in, man?
Loaded third hour of the radio program. It's a Magic Hat Thursday. We'll get to the Magic Hat in the final hour. Got quite a bit of audio for the Magic Hat today. We'll get to that.
We do.
Didn't get to my Aaron Rodgers.
A-Rod.
Did you know he's retiring?
I did not know. Wait, he's retiring?
That's a thing.
He doesn't want a goodbye tour, though, so he's not going to tell us.
Definitely not. Ed O is back. In the most obvious move ever, we'll
Here
talk
we
about
go, man.
All of that.
Here we go.
Hour number three, Dirt and Sprague on 105.1, The Fan.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.